Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we ask the question, how did we get here? How did we get to the point where we're now renaming sports teams in just a couple months? We went from lockdowns to riots to lockdowns. We go through all of it. I encourage you to listen to our sister episode where we say open schools now. Email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Please consider supporting The Charlie Kirk Show by going to charliekirk.com/support. It allows us to stay shielded from leftist boycotts. It allows us to stay protected and self-sufficient away from diabolical boycott campaigns to try to destroy this program and destroy the truth that we're saying every single day. So please chip in anything you might be able to. And thank you for some of the sizable donors that are helping this program hire more staff, increase our research capacity, and reach more people. charliekirk.com/support. Please get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Now on over 2,000 high school and college campuses across the country, Turning Point USA is leading the charge to educate the next generation around first principles, the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world, and we're actually conservatives that fight. Fun episode in store, big episode in store. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campuses.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Are you asking yourself, how did we get here? I was watching ESPN, which I know is owned by Disney, and I try to limit my intake of ESPN, but I was actually just trying to get an update as to whether or not sports are coming back, and I was actually very pleasantly surprised to find out baseball's coming back on July 23rd. I must have missed that memo, which started a group text amongst all my friends about when sports are coming back, and I did find out that college football has canceled non-conference games. I'm a huge Oregon Ducks fan. My aunt, my uncle, and my father all went to the University of Oregon. We see every single Ducks game every single year. We don't go to every single one, but we watch every single game. And my good buddy went to Ohio State University. He calls it the Ohio State University. I call it a school that's in Ohio. I'm totally kidding for our Ohio listeners out there. I'm totally kidding. But Ohio State University was supposed to play University of Oregon for the first time since the national title game. That was the first ever college football playoff a couple years ago. So I'm super bummed that they canceled that. But anyway, I was watching ESPN. And I asked myself, how did we get here? How did we get to a moment where we're changing the Washington Redskins' name? Because that's a really big deal, right? And those of you that support our show, thank you at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. You know that we think very thoughtfully, very deeply, and very comprehensively about these topics and these issues. That what makes our podcast different than almost any other podcast out there. And so I thought to myself, how did we go from one bad cop in Minneapolis and three cowards who stood and watched, resulting in the death of George Floyd, to the Washington Redskins changing their name and removing their logo? That's a huge story, by the way. I mean, we're talking about something that happened in a specific incident, albeit evil, and albeit unspeakable, in Minneapolis. And then a month and a half later, we're changing the name of a football team. Big deal. Now, there's a deeper point here, though, because it wasn't just the killing of George Floyd. It wasn't. This has been multi-institutional, multi-dimensional, and a targeted, diabolical campaign of the left for quite some time. How did we also get from statues to George Washington to now Google pledging over $100 million to the cause of racial justice and amplifying black voices? How did it get to a place where syrup bottles with Aunt Jemima are canceled, but the governor of Virginia, who is either wearing blackface or the KKK hood, which he hasn't told us which one it was. It was one of the two. It was either KKK hood or blackface. But he's not forced to resign. He's still governor of Virginia. You see, the time that we're living in, it's not a serious one, but it's an unbelievably serious time, to play on words. We're not at all serious about the issues that are facing our country. But we are living through the most serious chapter in American history since the American Civil War. You see, our country right now is being held hostage by radical leftists who used and exploited a singular tragedy to open their wish list and Pandora's box of radical leftist, anti-American, fundamentalist ideas. And one of my fears is that there just is not enough courage in our country that we can close it. It's really interesting. We went from total lockdown and fear to riots, back to lockdowns and fear. And now we're changing the name of a football team. Mind you, a win for the radical left means a staggering loss for America. JFK once said this, politics is like football. If you see daylight, run through the hole. And that's exactly what we are seeing. The murder of George Floyd was the daylight for the radical left and for the Democratic Party. And now they're running totally free and untouched to the end zone, hoping to score a win for the game, to use the metaphor and to complete the metaphor. Now, to keep with the football analogy, one of the most recent victims of the left's ground-and-pound political offense was the Washington Redskins. And they've been a member of the NFL since 1932. Now, interestingly enough, there's a very interesting backstory here. But in a statement released to the press early Monday morning, they announced that they were officially dropping their 88-year-old name. It read in part, quote, "Today we are announcing we will be retiring the Redskins' name and logo. Upon completion of a thorough review of the team's name, Dan Snyder and Coach Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design, an approach that will enhance the standing of our proud tradition, rich franchise, and inspire our sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years. It's so laughable to see the left ever try to argue for tradition in a press release, considering everything that flies in the face of preserving tradition. So the Redskins will start the 2020 football season with a new name and new logo, all because a evil cop killed somebody in Minneapolis. And that's what it's going to finally take to break the 28-year-old Super Bowl drought? Yeah, I don't think so. But let's be serious. This is utterly ridiculous and totally rubbish. Especially considering that according to a Washington Post survey, 90% of Native Americans have no problem with the Redskin name at all. This is substitutionary rage. It is woke, mainly white liberals who are feigning outrage on behalf of people that believe they are oppressed. Kayleigh McEnany had an excellent point today at the White House, and she hit it home perfectly. Play tape.
A reaction to the Washington Redskins dropping their name today?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I haven't talked to him since the specific announcement's been made. I have talked to him, but not specifically on that. But last week, his tweet made it clear that these teams name their teams out of strength, not weakness. And he talked about the Washington Redskins and Cleveland Indians looking at changing their names. And he says that he believes that the Native American community would be very angry at this. And he does have polling to back him up. There was a Washington Post poll from a few years ago that 90% of Native Americans say they're not offended by the name. It is reflective of a 2004 poll. And the Washington Post notes that many of these Native Americans voiced admiration for the team name, like Barbara Bruce, who said, "I'm proud of being Native American and of the Redskins. I'm not ashamed of that at all. I like that name." Gabriel Nez, another 29-year-old from the Navajo community, "I really don't mind it. I like it." And there are several other comments like this in the Washington Post.
I encourage you to check out our episode with Kayleigh McEnany. It was phenomenal. And she was exactly right. The name is a sign of strength, not of weakness. Here's a fun fact to share with your friends. The Redskins logo was actually designed by a Native American, Walter Blackie Wetzel, to depict a member of the Blackfeet tribe. So now we're erasing Native American history. Something that was actually portrayed in a positive light of Native American culture. White liberals decide that they don't like the way it looks or feels. So white liberals get what they want because white liberals are miserable bullies. White liberals want you to feel sorry for something that you did not do. White liberals want you to apologize for your immutable characteristics. Lance Wetzel said everyone was pretty upset about the change. Everyone understood the name change. We were all on board with that. Once they weren't going to use the logo, it was hard. It takes away from the Native Americans. When I see that logo, I take pride in it. You look at the depiction of the Redskins logo, and it's of true Native American. I always felt it was representing my people. That's not gone. So what comes next? Will the Patriots be canceled? Because that's too offensive, probably. And with, oh my goodness, the mob's going to come for the Kansas City Chiefs next. Good luck with that one. They're going to put up a much bigger cultural, let's just say, fight. What about the Vikings or the Saints or the Cowboys? Now, I've come up with a list of three potential names to replace the Redskins. Number one, the Washington lobbyists. Because that shouldn't offend anyone because lobbyists are basically running our country. How about this? The Washington swamp monsters. Okay, that's not that. That's probably not going to work. How about this? The Washington politicians. I don't think that's going to be very favorable. If you want to see something that's actually less popular than the Washington Redskins, call it the Washington politicians. I'm more offended if you call it the Washington politicians than the Washington Redskins, for good reason. And by the way, in the Washington Post, the global opinions editor, a woman named Kayen Atiyah, I might have mispronounced her name, Kayen Atiyah, said, quote, the Texas Rangers team name must go. The left will destroy everything they touch. The left is relentless in their utter and complete focus of debasing the United States of America. They're going to go for the Texas Rangers. They'll go for the Chicago Bears. They're going to go for everything. Everything that has meaning and symbology, the left does not build. The left only destroys. Instead of proposing a new football team, they're going to destroy a pre-existing football team. Instead of trying to build something new, they're going to try to destroy something that exists. Kayen said in the Washington Post, quote, as the Washington football team name finally gives up its racist slur of a name, there's one major sports team that has avoided the spotlight and resisted meaningful engagement. With the violent and racist implications of its name, to know the full history of the Texas Rangers is to understand the team's name is not so far from being called the Texas Klansmen. But of course, as you know, it doesn't stop at sports teams. This is from NBC, quote, the Boston Police Department is conducting an arson investigation after a statue of the Virgin Mary was set on fire at a church in the city's Dorchester neighborhood. The mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is now a target for the left. It's not just a silly sports logo or a team's name or a bottle of syrup. Remember what the left is. A relentless force of destruction. If we do not start playing offense and stop playing defense, we will lose our country and lose Western society. They say defense wins championships. Well, to use the analogy and to complete it, if JFK was right and the radical Marxist left is engaged in a game of sinister cultural football, if you will, a good defense may be our only hope to save America if we can actually play offense again. We need to start playing offense with a sense of urgency. We need to set the agenda and establish ground rules. The president has done very well on this terrain throughout his presidency. And by the way, I want to hear your new thoughts on what the name should be. I think the Washington lobbyists would probably be the most fitting for considering that 8 out of 10 of the wealthiest counties in America are around Washington, D.C., despite Washington creating nothing of value. That's right, nothing of value for the rest of America. Washington lobbyists, Washington politicians, I don't know. Email me what you think the new Washington Redskins should be called, and the best suggestion that we get, we'll get a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. Signed copy, New York Times bestseller. Send me what you think the Washington Redskins should be renamed as. Oh my gosh. So while we're on the subjects of total disgraces in sports, listen to this unbelievable story from the National Basketball Association. So apparently, this is reporting from the Washington Free Beacon. The official online store of the NBA does not permit fans to order a custom jersey with the phrase, quote, free Hong Kong, printed on the back. When shoppers go to input their custom message in support of Hong Kong, the site gives you an error message that says, "We are unable to customize this item with the text you have entered. Please try a different entry." Here are some of the phrases, however, that don't receive such a warning. F Hong Kong, defund police, abolish cops, beware of Jews, sneaky Jews, ban gypsies, G for life, cancel Israel, 9/11 hoax, end Taiwan, enslave Tibet, Trump has AIDS, Pence is gay, Uyghurs lie. I can tell you one thing. I would trade every single woke NBA player and anyone who supports them for the Hong Kong freedom fighters any single day. I don't care who you are. Whether you're LeBron James, who's worth $600 million, or whoever, if you hate America and you would rather side with the oppressive Chinese Communist Party regime, then leave the country. America is the only country in the history of the world where even those who say they hate it refuse to leave. America is the only country in the history of the world where you can make millions of dollars hating the very country that you live in. And Senator Josh Hawley has the right idea. He called a subpoena for NBA Commissioner Adam Silver to appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee a great idea. In fact, I am going to tweet that out the day that this episode airs, that we should subpoena Adam Silver in front of a Senate committee for his ties to the Chinese Communist Party. Senator Josh Hawley said, "This is big time money for the National Basketball Association. I think we do deserve to know exactly what they're making, and we deserve to have them explain to us why they will not stand against this authoritarian regime." The senator's right. Anything with the word "national" affixed to it, which claims to represent our country, should be transparent about why they refuse to condemn America's greatest enemy. And speaking of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and before we get into this, I want to thank those of you that are supporters of the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. You guys keep our program going. You help pay for our research team, pay for the cost of this program, helps us stay insulated and shielded away from leftist boycotts. So thank you. So the Senate Judiciary Committee, Lindsey Graham, made news on Sunday when he announced that former special counsel Robert Mueller would be invited to testify before his committee. Graham wrote on Twitter, "Apparently Mr. Mueller is willing and also capable of defending the Mueller investigation through an op-ed in the Washington Post." Graham added, "Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee have previously requested Mr. Mueller appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee to testify about his investigation. That request will be granted." Now, this comes after Mueller published a scathing column in the Washington Post last Saturday in which he defends his team's prosecution of Roger Stone and others, calling Stone still a convicted felon and rightfully so. He goes on to say, "We also identified numerous links between the Russian government and the Trump campaign personnel, Stone among them. This could also include Lieutenant General Michael Flynn and Sisolak, but we did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired with the Russian government in its activities. It's so dishonest. Bob Mueller should be called to testify immediately. And we have Roger Stone coming up on the podcast tomorrow. So make sure you are subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit subscribe. Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe. Make sure you are the first one to hear our exclusive interview with Roger Stone." And all of this, of course, comes as President Trump makes a brave and just decision to grant clemency to Roger Stone last Friday, keeping the 67-year-old from showing up to serve time in a coronavirus-infested prison. But by the way, I supported Roger's pardon vocally and vociferously, loudly and publicly, for a variety of different reasons. It was a rigged trial. It just was. This was a multi-decade campaign to try to take Roger Stone, who used to be partners with Paul Manafort. I'm in no way getting into the history of Roger Stone or what he did in the 80s or 90s, and that is not what justice is. Justice is blind. Tell me exactly what Roger was being tried for and give him a fair trial. He was not given a fair trial. His jury forewoman tweeted out negative Roger Stone material before being selected as a jury forewoman. His judge treated him so unfairly with so much bias. Every human being deserves a fair trial. And there you have the American Civil Liberties Union that goes out and tries to say, well, terrorists deserve a fair trial. The Boston bomber deserves a fair trial. And yet they were deathly silent on the trial of Roger Stone. So I'm so glad that Roger had his crime commuted. Thank you, President Trump, for your courage on that. And we are going to get more into that tomorrow on the Charlie Kirk Show. And a lot of people are going after President Trump on his commutations. Let's just go through the facts. Do you know that Bill Clinton commuted 61 people in 8 years? George W. Bush, 11 people in 8 years? Barack Obama, 1,715 in 8 years? Donald Trump, 11 in 4 years. 1,715, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, 11. And remind me again who abused their presidential power. Jesse Waters broke this down so well about the media's coverage of this that it's all a distraction to stop you from focusing on deeper issues. Play tape.
Don't fall for the Roger Stone hysteria. Just a distraction. Just like the Russia bounty story. The president's power to commute sentences, almost absolute. George Washington granted clemency to traitors. Andrew Johnson pardoned every single Confederate soldier. Gerald Ford pardoned Nixon. Bill Clinton pardoned his own brother. That's what brothers are for. Bill Clinton pardoned the former CIA director and his business partner, Susan McDougal. And he pardoned the biggest tax cheat in U.S. history, international fugitive Mark Rich. After Rich's wife donated $500,000 to Clinton's presidential library. Barack Obama commuted the sentence of Chelsea Manning, who conspired with WikiLeaks, and the media loved it. But Trump commuted the sentence of Roger Stone, who did not conspire with WikiLeaks, and the media hated it. See what's going on here? There was never any evidence of collusion because there was never any collusion. Nobody's ever been charged with collusion or conspiracy with the Russians.
And it's so true. Barack Obama got a pass, despite some incredibly questionable abuse of power. Namely, commuting the sentence of Bradley Chelsea Manning, who I think is a man who thinks he's a woman. He was charged with 22 offenses, including aiding the enemy, which is one of the most serious charges that could have resulted in a death sentence. And can you guess which garnered more media outrage? Trump commuting Roger Stone for a process crime or Obama commuting Chelsea Manning? I have a lot more thoughts on the Roger Stone issue. Just make sure you're subscribed. You do not want to miss it. Email me the questions you think I should ask Roger. So email me freedom@charliekirk.com, the questions that you think I should ask Roger. And if your question is selected, you could win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. Now, while you think you are losing your country, you're right. We are losing our country. We went from an evil cop doing something unspeakably evil in Minneapolis to changing sports teams' names to Google funding BLM Inc. to $100 million to American churches marching in the streets around with BLM activists basically in a couple weeks. It's because we lost our culture for multi-decades. We sent our kids to colleges that did not offer them value, that got them into debt, that taught them things that do not matter around ideas that have no basis in truth, to hate our country. We funded our media through our movie ticket sales, through watching cable television far too much, buying the DVDs, buying the music, and just shamelessly indulging in leftist culture and not as conservatives building our own cultural institutions, allowing the left into the church. And this is why it's all coming to a point right now. And so while that's happening, Democrat mayors in America's biggest cities, yeah, they're focused on more important things, right? So you take Bill de Blasio, for example. Now, he obsessed over his hand-painted BLM Inc. street mural right in front of Trump Tower. But while he was doing that, the family of one-year-old Devel Gardner Jr. was grieving. Devel was a one-year-old boy who was shot in the streets of Brooklyn while sitting in his stroller. His father and grandmother were interviewed on Hannity on Fox News, and it's heartbreaking. Play tape.
Girlfriend was on the phone with my mom. She said, "You have to call your baby mother. Junior's in a hospital." So when I called her, like, she just, like, as soon as she picked up, she was just crying immediately. Like, "You need to get here. You need to get here. Hurry." And I'm like, "What's wrong?" And she was like, "Junior got shot in his stomach." And
it's okay.
And it just broke me down because I didn't know, like, if my son was going to make it or not. And he didn't. And I'm sitting here calling everybody. Like, nobody can tell me the condition of my son. He getting transferred from hospitals. Like, nobody's seen him yet. Like, the doctors can't say nothing. It's just, I was looking for answers. That wasn't answered for me, and it just broke me down. And then when the doctors came out and told me, it just, like, I just lost myself.
For the cowards that did this, you should be ashamed of yourself, because everybody talk about Black Lives Matter. What about baby lives? What about teenager lives? Like, you took an innocent child from a mother and a father, as well as the grandparents. And I don't think it's fair.
DeVille, do you believe, based on what you know now, and no one's talking, that people thought that your son's life mattered by the way they're conducting themselves right now?
No. Anybody who said that they are, they're just lying, because if you know information, that needs to be said, and no information is being needs to be said. Like, this is my son. He died. You need to, whatever information you need, you know, you need to tell me. It needs to be known. I need this information. Because these guys just took my son's life. For what? He didn't do nothing to nobody.
Do you feel like the elected leaders, the people that represent the community, are doing enough to stop this?
No. The community is just getting worse and worse. Nobody's doing nothing about it. Nobody. Nobody's trying to make a change. And it's sad to say that, like, every day is just worse. You don't know if you're going to live to see the next day.
What is your message to the people that did this?
You took my son and go to hell. You can go to hell. And excuse my expression, but you took something that was precious from me, precious from my son, precious, something precious from his mother, and we will never see him. He cannot come back. He cannot wake back up. He was an innocent little baby, and he's gone forever.
You took my son's life. I can't get that back. I can't hold him no more. I can't hear him calling me daddy no more. I can't kiss him no more. I can't play with him no more. I can't do nothing with him no more. Like, I gotta put my son in the ground now. And he's only one. His birthday 2 months. In 2 months, he didn't live to see two. Like, he didn't live life. And it's like, I wanted to get him out this violence before something like this happened.
And as these tragedies continue happening across our country, isn't it strange that the only network giving these grieving families a platform is Fox? Wouldn't you think that CNN or MSNBC would be all over these interviews? Since Black Lives Matter, right? Where's BLM Inc.? We went early and we went assertively on this podcast, and we received a lot of backlash, we received a lot of praise, and a lot of people in the middle that said, Charlie, I don't know, maybe this organization, BLM, maybe they mean well. I think it is so clear that we here on the Charlie Kirk Show were right early and we were right often. BLM Inc. is silent on the fact that over this last weekend, you were more likely to be shot in New York City and die than die of the Chinese coronavirus. So sure, keep locking down churches and synagogues and forcing thousands of people onto unemployment. But meanwhile, in Chicago, 14 more people were murdered and at least 64 people were shot. Democrat Mayor Lori Lightfoot, she's up to something. Play tape.
When I was a kid, I loved the Batman TV show. And when the city of Gotham had a real difficult challenge, one of the things that the mayor there did is he called out and he sent out the distress signal to Batman. So we are doing something similar for the census. And I'm happy to report I'm calling out the census cowboy. So, if you see the census cowboy coming to your neighborhood, that's not a good thing. That means you got to step up and do your part and make sure that you fill out the census. He's going to be going to the 10 communities across Chicago that have the lowest census response rate. And it's time to giddy up. Let's do this, Chicago. Let's make the census cowboy proud. Thank you very much, sir.
So So for those of you that were listening carefully, I'm going to try my best to provide some visual context here. That was Mayor Lightfoot pulling on a bright green cowboy hat from underneath her podium and welcoming a black cowboy on horseback to join her at a press conference, all encouraging Chicagoans to take the census. So do Black Lives Matter actually matter to BLM? Of course not. Are they a priority to Democrats? Of course not. They're not acting like it. And it's translating into what may end up being a serious electability for them in November. A new Zogby poll might be some indication. The poll, conducted by John Zogby Strategies and EMI Research Solutions, surveyed 1,000 voters nationally, found that 77% of black voters are committed to voting for Biden, only 77%. Meanwhile, according to these results, 14% of black voters plan to support President Donald Trump, with another 9% still not having made up their mind. But it's not just all black people. Joe Biden has a young black voter problem. This is some great news for President Trump. Surveys also indicated, this is continuing the article, that only 57% of black voters between the ages 18 and 29 hold a favorable opinion of former Vice President Joe Biden. On the other hand, 88% of African Americans 65 years of age and older held a favorable view of Biden. The lack of enthusiasm is spilling all over Twitter into Chance the Rapper. He said, "Are you more pro-Biden or anti-Yay, Kanye West, and why?" And he goes on to ask, "Why do you like Joe Biden? You know, make the case for it." So there's a lot of good traction happening there. And I believe the more that we expose BLM Inc. for being nothing more than a Democrat Marxist front group to try to raise money off of a singular tragedy or tragedy that happened in isolated incidents, the more we are going to have success in the black community. It's time to get big. It's time to get bold with our thinking. President Trump is doing more and more of that, and he's going to be rewarded electorally and politically the more he leans into his instincts and his impulses. We are in a critical moment in our country right now. You have people being gunned down in the streets, and you have mayors making light of it, being cowboys for the census as if it's some sort of joke, bloody Chicago, and it's some sort of joke. And just so we understand, just in the last week, 33 people were shot and wounded in Chicago, 39 total shot, 6 shot and killed. And just in July, 44 shot and killed, 201 shot and wounded, 245 total shot and 52 total homicides. I'm bringing the year-to-date total in Chicago, 392 total homicides, total shot, 1,969 total shot, and shot and wounded, 1,612. That's just Chicago. So how did we get here? We got here because conservatives did not play offense. We are going to be unpacking this all week with some of the biggest guests in the conservative movement. We are going to be unpacking this with some of the biggest thought leaders, senators, politicians. So email me what questions you have, freedom@charliekirk.com, and email me ideas you have on how conservatives can play offense to save our country. freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you for supporting The Charlie Kirk Show by going to charliekirk.com/support. Please become a monthly donor. We have a monthly video call for those of you that are monthly donors. And I encourage you to please check out Turning Point USA, start a chapter, get engaged, get involved on the fight on campuses across the country. Go to tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Get engaged, get involved in the fight. And for the first 10 people that subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show, give us a 5-star review, screenshot it. You can get in the running for a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, and email me what you think the new name of the Washington Redskins should be. I'd love to hear from you. Listen to our sister episode. Big guest coming up later this week. We're back in the saddle. Facts first. We love America. God bless. Talk to you soon.